light is sight, and Christ is that light. You know, many times we wonder why people can't communicate with us. Why can't, it's so simple a child can understand it. Why can't they understand what I'm saying? And you have to know one thing. Some people have blinders on. They don't realize there was an earth age before this. Do you realize how robbed they are then? They don't realize that some people have a destiny. Some people are God's election, that He chose to do certain things. And if you're not aware of that, you're hurting the heap. And when you start talking about destiny or election, you're going to lose them. Because they think, they absolutely believe that this earth is 6,000 years old. Doesn't matter what your eyes tell you and what you see in reality. That is to say, in fossilized material, that with just a little bit of education, you know, this can't be. And then you realize there was an earth age before this. And that God has a plan. And His plan is not complicated. It just really flows. But some people are very handicapped. So basically what we're going to talk about today is destiny in a sense. But it is light that gives sight. And Christ is that light. He gives you the sight to see and to understand and to know. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8 to begin with. Romans chapter 8. We're just going to touch on the fact that there was an earth age before this one. This chapter 8, where we're going to pick it up in the 26th verse, was written to the saints. Saints simply means set aside ones. That's the ones God chose. And I want to document that He foreordained some people, just like we're teaching in Jeremiah now. And we know that God chose Jeremiah before he was ever in his mother's womb. So where did that happen? It happened with God, and it happened even in, or sometime prior to this first earth age, when basically God knew him. He earned that right. God doesn't give things away for free. God doesn't play favorites. We're all His children, whoever you are. But some He can count on, and that's why you love Him. That's why you study. So Romans chapter 8, verse 26, let's pick it up where God is speaking to those set aside, that's to say, His election. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps your weaknesses. If you run up against something you can't handle, if you be one of God's set aside ones, He's going to help you. And you're going to wonder, what happened? That wasn't half as bad as I thought it would be. Wonder why it happened so easily. Well, you know, if you're blessed, you're blessed. And if you love God, you're blessed, okay? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't really understand all that's going down. We don't really know what to pray for. You just want to serve. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's to say with a sigh, which cannot be uttered. There are things that can't be told, can't be understood, really. So therefore, God makes intercession. He does that. He makes it easy for you when you love Him, when you follow Him. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth. He that can read your mind, and He's always searching, what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to man's will? No, the will of God. He's got a plan. We've got to stick with that plan. You know why? It's perfect. It's good. It saves people. It helps people. It keeps people out of trouble. And that's why you have to stick to that plan, so that you, not selfishly just to take care of you, but where you can be a blessing to others and help them. Okay? That's the mark of one of God's election. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That are what? Called according to His purpose, not yours. You may wonder, what happened? What am I doing here? Well, think. Look around you. Take inventory. Be wise. And use that wisdom. Apply it to your life as well as to others. Okay? Because you have to know that. Are you a Christian? All things work to the good for you. When you analyze it, when you look into it, But it might have been bad there for a minute. So, you can cut it or God wouldn't put you into it. Because you're a can-do type person. You can handle it. Okay? All things work for the good for us. So, what are you shook up about? Well, I don't understand all things. Well, he just told you you didn't. He said, that's why I make intercession for you. So still, what are you worried about? Okay? And again, I would have to say, according to God's purpose, not ours. 29. For whom he did foreknow, that means knew from before, knew before this earth age, knew, he did also predestinate to be conformed, sumorphos, that is to say, jointly formed, to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that Son, Jesus Christ, leading the way, showing the way, he is that light. All gifts come from above, come from him, come from the Father, come from that Spirit, and all things just automatically work to the good for us. Hey, that's, you got something going for you, friend, if you believe. I don't know, are you a believer? I got doubts. Well, don't be a Thomas. Okay. God doesn't really go, he won't float your boat a whole lot if you doubt, because you know what that means? You're not believing. If you're a doubter, I'm sorry, I don't want to go to battle with you. I don't think anybody else does, because all things work to the good for those that love the Lord and believe him, not a doubter. Doubters will get you in trouble. Be careful, my friend. 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that's to set in advance, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. That means he judged them. He judged them in the first earth age. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, he called them his own. He said, I can, if you're judged there, he can interfere with your life today, move you, and he doesn't have to worry about you coming on judgment day and saying, you made me do that. You know, because you were already judged and you were his servant and he can use you. And if he does, you better be thankful for it. Because if you ever wonder, if you ever kind of come to yourself and wonder, well, just why is this happening this way? Wake up! Hello, set an alarm, a spiritual alarm. Keep attuned. And know who's in control. Who can search your heart, knows your mind, in other words. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things about them? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. They can try to be against us, but we're going to take names and we're going to kick dragon. Even the old dragon himself, and that's Satan. You don't have to worry about it. God stated these words, and he meant it. It is written, and that's exactly how it is. He has his election that he can interfere in their lives. Turn with me to John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9. We're going to go with Jesus' teaching here, and I want you to really grasp this. It's so simple. But this is light, and it's truth. And maybe this helps you have more patience when people look at you real funny when you make a simple statement, and they just can't get it. Because you've got to be aware of God's plan. The first earth age, the fact that he has some election, and the rest he wants to save. And it just so happens he has you, that he intercedes to bring that salvation and that word to other people. So be patient with it. And know and understand. Now, let's look at life itself. Chapter 9, verse 1 of the great book of St. John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, I want you to know he had never seen a thing in his life. Man was born this way. And I want to tell you, coming out the gate, this man is symbolic of God's elect and his remnant. That is, just the remnant is those that have known the truth and have already passed on and joined that army there. But God's election are the ones that live through to the very end and participate there. This is the people God utilizes. Born blind. Couldn't see. Now, just to put little wheels on this so we can really get down where the rubber meets the road, did you understand all the truth when you were born? Or did you have to study and be taught? Did the Holy Spirit touch you and bring you to the truth, or were you born with it all? Okay? Everybody must learn. Okay? And think of it in this life. The man didn't know the truth when he was born, and we're going to use this blindness as an example. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Just, you know, good old people of the world. There's got to be somebody messed up. Somebody sinned. And because they sinned, this boy couldn't see. He was born blind. Somebody did something bad, you know. Do you know that's straight out of Satan's mouth? Okay. What did Jesus answer? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was born blind that I can illustrate to you sight, that I can illustrate to you that I, the light, that's to say Christ, can give this person sight if they listen to my word. If he, in other words, I can interfere in his life. Why? He's never sinned. But he's one of my elect, therefore I can jerk him around a little bit to help others. Okay. And this one blind soul, I have no doubt he overcame in the first earth age, and God utilized him. I have not even said, send me, Lord. And here he is, an illustration of one born blind. You see, what's important about this, never before had one born blind been able to see. This is the first time. And this lad is going to be made to see when he was born into this condition. But it was so Christ could illustrate the light. Verse 4. Christ continues, I must work the works of him that sent me. I want you to know, he did what? He sent me. Was that an accident? No, he sent me. God's elections are election. They are sent ones. You understand? It's part of God's plan. He sent me while it is day. That is to say, it's light out there. It's not dark. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, blindness is going to hit the world. It's going to happen. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, many, that might frighten some, but did he leave? No. He said, in 10 days, you're going to get a promise from me. I'm going to send you a comforter that'll be the light also. So he didn't remove the light from us. We still have it. His word is the light. He is the light. And spiritually, he is with us. And for one of God's elect, that's all that's necessary. So, you might say, well, will God intercede in my life then? Well, I don't know. He did this one. Are you any different? Are you something special that he can't use you? I think if he decides to use you, he's going to do it. Because those that were justified, he can utilize. Okay, and again, it comes down, if you take somebody that did not overcome in the first earth age, and let's say that God interceded in their lives, and then on judgment day they could squeal like a wounded pig. Okay, you made me do it. So they got free will. They're on their own. God will not intercede in their life unless they ask him to, and then he will. But until they ask, he's not going to even turn it over. Why? So that on judgment day, they're on their own. You either overcome in the light or you stay in the darkness. But understand why some people can't understand you. when they don't even know there was a first earth age, when they don't know that some people have free will and there are some that God will intercede in your life, and then all things work to the good for you. It could even be something seemingly bad, like, hey, I'm sure this old boy didn't enjoy having to beg and not being able to sleep. Okay. A lot of people would say, that's a curse. No, it was to illustrate that Christ is light, that Christ can make you see, make you to see, if you ask, and if you deserve it, to know the very truth that opened the gates of heaven to you, eternity, and makes you just real fine, makes you all right. But let's go back and look at people again, verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. In other words, here you have a bit of the living water, and you have the clay that man is made from. You've got what man is, okay? And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Underline it in your mind. Sent. He was a sent one. You got it? What would it take to get someone to see through that, to see the light? A sent one. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And you got to know, beloved, that this particular pool is watered by a subterranean conduit that comes from, you know what? The fountain of the Virgin. The fountain of the Virgin. He was washed there with that. From the mother came the son. And the son is the light. And this water, spiritually speaking, of the sent one, cleared him up and healed him. For what reason? To illustrate that God's on the throne. To illustrate that God is in control. To illustrate that God uses you. And he doesn't ask necessarily. You volunteer, but he's going to use you. And don't ever complain about it. If you want to get behind the eight ball, just pull one of those poor me baby jags on him when he's maneuvering you to be where you can be useful. Think about it, friend. Think about it deep. Think about it long, and think about it hard. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, I mean from birth, little baby, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. It's him, all right. Others said, he's like him, looks like him. But he said, I am he. I'm the one. And therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? How did, question, how did this happen? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, Yahweh's Savior, okay, being interpreted, made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed. I received my sight. I obeyed. I can see. Now, beloved, this being able to see has more to do with than physical sight, okay? It has to be able to see the truth. Be able to see God's plan whereby you can help others in explaining it, whereby they also can understand the saving grace of God. Not some flyaway doctrine, but the real truth of God's Word and how it affects people, your people, God's children. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Go down and get them religious dudes and let's see what we can find out. I'm going to say, well, I won't go there. 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. Okay. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. That's simple. God's plan is always real simple. It's so simple that some people can't understand it. Okay, because they've got to muddy the water. They've got to make it difficult. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. In other words, they were calling Jesus Christ, who the Sabbath, he's the king of the Sabbath. Okay. They're calling him a sinner. Okay. Now, if you go to a lot of religious people, okay, and you bring forth the real truth, if you were to tell them they were earth age before this, they're going to call you a sinner. Okay. And you are confused. Okay. And is that going to bother you? I hope not. I really hope not. I hope that you're welded into the truth, that the truth grows in you. You never doubt. You know that all things work to the good for those that love the Lord. Going to verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's a man of God because he did it. Okay, that's, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Okay. He gave the order, the command, I executed it, and guess what? I see. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. You think they're going to know anything? If they weren't there and if they didn't experience it, even the parents, they're not going to want to get involved. Because of the religious community. You know what might happen to them? They might get excommunicated from the church. It could happen. Verse 19, and they asked them, the parents, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We can vouch for that. And that he was born blind. We can vouch for that. 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't know nothing about it. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. He's a grown man. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. In other words, leave us out of it. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. We're going to excommunicate him. Luckiest day in their life. Okay. One of the first things you learn as an old cowboy is a dead horse ain't going to get you nowhere. You know, you're out of business, friend, until you get you another horse, okay? And if you're trying to ride a dead old horse and there's no truth there, you're not going anywhere, okay? Well, I guess we can say you might. It's hot, okay? Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. 24, then called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. Now, you know, that is a hard saying, and they're sure not going to make any points with their father calling his only begotten a sinner. Okay? He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, this is a fact, that whereas I was blind, now I see, and you can't touch me because I know. I was the one that wanted to see how beautiful the trees in God's creation was. I was the one that wanted to see what people looked like. And I had to sit there begging all my life. And he came along and he touched me. And he had me perform this. He sent me. And I can see. And there's nothing you can say that will rob me of that or take that away from me. I hope you have that same attitude, dear one. Because you've got eyes to see and you've got ears to hear. That's why sometimes people have trouble communicating with you. It's God's way. Simple a child can understand it. Just take a deep breath and think. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee question? How opened he thine eyes? We'd kind of like to know this trick for ourselves, okay? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Do you want to follow Jesus? Now that'll fix their wagon real good, okay? Then they stormed him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. But Moses himself even spoke of Jesus in Deuteronomy 18:18, did he not? And verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses as, for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We don't know this Jesus. You know, it's a strange thing. He had raised people from the dead. He had healed leprosy. He had given this blind boy sight. And they don't know whether he's from God or not. You know, look at facts. Don't listen to men that do not have the truth. But listen to your Father in his words. These things happen so that you could see in the deeper vein of the simplicity in which Christ taught. Let's go with verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man, this is the blind man that has sight talking, was any man open the eyes of one that was born blind? Never happened before. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That's common sense, friend. Always use it. The gift that God gave you that's inborn, Christian-born people, you're going to know the truth. You're going to feel it. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, now, Jesus has already said he never sinned, nor his parents. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They excommunicated him. He should have celebrated. Okay. Had a party. It's the best thing that ever happened to him. Christ himself had touched him, healed him, as an illustration of how God chooses his election and how they serve him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. I'm sure he applauded. Okay. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe in me, Son? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Tell me. 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Your eyes are open now. You can see me. I don't know, can you see? Can you see the truth? Do you know that God has an election? Do you know that he utilizes people that were justified in the first earth age, judged? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Why wouldn't he? And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. In other words, the real truth can blind some people. They're blind to it. Though they have eyes that can see a tree or a building, they can't see the truth. I don't know, maybe you all have bumped into one of them sometime when you were trying to talk God's Word to them. They couldn't see it. Couldn't understand it. 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Are you accusing us of this also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. It's there. You know, ignorance is bliss, I suppose, because God put the spirit of stupor over some to protect them for the millennium, the Lord's day. I believe that with all my heart. We're not going to shake them, but there's some that will hear, and it's a beautiful thing when one of those can see the truth and hear it, and their eyes are open, and they can see this simple plan of God of salvation in knowing the true Christ and the difference between he and the false Christ. I'm gonna close this by going to James, the great book of James. James, and we're going to take it with chapter 1. Thinking again, light gives sight, and Christ is that light. Christ is that light of the world. Book of James, right before the book of Peter, right following the great book of Hebrews in my Bible. In some Bibles, it's maybe a little different, you know. So we've run across some strange Bibles here lately. You've got to be very careful, okay? Let's rightly divide the word. Okay, that's important. Well, what do you mean by that? Who was it written to? And naturally, it applies to everyone. But there is a special message in it for who it's written to that will give you better light, that is to say, understanding. So James chapter 1, verse 1 reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. In other words, it was written to God's children that were scattered all over Europe, many of them later to this great United States of America. It's written to you that God has a message for you. And He loves you. And He wants you to be able to see, because He is that light. Let's skip, if we may, for the sake of time, down to verse 17. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God. And cometh down from the Father of lights. That light gives sight, okay? With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I mean, it's straight on. You can rest assured. All things work to the good for those that love the Lord. And those gifts, without repentance, come from above, come from Him. If He assigns you a gift, hey, guess what? You're stuck with it, friend. You may try to get away from it, but He will correct you in a way that can be awesome until you fulfill it. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. In other words, God's election, He begat so that, as a form of first fruit, so that you could bring that fruit in, His children that couldn't see. That means He has a purpose for you. And that's why you're here. You know, you got to stop and think. If you were chosen and justified in the first earth age, what have you got to do with this earth age? Not necessarily a whole lot for yourself, but for the others, to help them, to know them, to love them, and to know that they are children of God. Therefore, you are called first fruits in this case. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let God work, okay? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. An angry controversy or arguing the Bible won't get you one step, okay? It's a waste of time. If somebody doesn't have ears to hear, forget it. Okay. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of that's over zealousness and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Do you know that when it says break the bread, do you know what that word break means in the Greek? It says when you break or cut something to graft it in somewhere else, the bread of life into your body, engrafted, so that you're family, and He knows you, and He utilizes you, okay, in that word of truth, and how precious that is. Verse 22, and be ye doers. Got it? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If all you do is hear and you don't practice, you're a waste. You're deceiving yourself. Why? Because God wants to hear from you. He wants you to let Him know you love Him. I don't know, how long has it been since you said, Father, I love You? That's what He really wants from you. I mean, you can't say it often enough, my friend. Well, don't. He doesn't like a ratchet job, but you know what I mean, okay? It's verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Look at that. That's to say, looking in a mirror and say, "Woo, looking good today, old buddy." And when you look in the mirror, our little sweetie might say, "Ooh, ain't I a pretty thing? Look at that." You know. But do you know what happens when you walk away to that picture? That's what he's talking about. If you don't be a doer of God's word, you're like that picture you saw in the mirror. You may look pretty, but when you walk away, you're nothing. There's nothing there. Okay? 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. There's no picture there. You wouldn't know what you look like. Okay? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you want God to bless you? There's no gender in that. It applies to women also. That God will bless, and He will. You know something? He always keeps His word. A lot of people want God to pay first, and then they'll do the work. It doesn't work that way. I would not say that God doesn't trust you. It's just that's His rule. And you know what? Most places you work, isn't that the way it is? You know, even sometimes they'll hold a week back on you. You know? Does that mean they don't trust you? Well, I don't know. I mean, you look trustworthy to me. But, you know, God likes to pay you after. He knows what you need. You don't even have to pray for it. Just do His, be a good listener and a doer, and He knows what you need. He'll give it to you. Okay? And that law of liberty, what is liberty? It's freedom. It sets you free. Truth sets you free from the hang-ups of this world. Okay? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Well, y'all want to be sure and come down to our church here. We don't, we just party. Have a good time there, you know. Well, do you ever study God's Word? Well, we'll read a verse now and then. But mostly we talk. Hey, you know, whatever you like, you know. That's what, you know, certain food for different folks. Some people like the Word of God and they like to be a doer of it. Religion, Christianity is not a religion. I want you to get that straight. It's a reality. It's real. And you live it. Okay. 27, to complete this lecture. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. You want to know? It is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, wait a minute. What does this mean? Well, who was it addressed to? I wanted you to rightly divide it. Who was it addressed to in verse 1? To the 12 scattered abroad that have lost. They don't know who their father is. And they don't know who their husband is. So they're widowed. Okay. Tell them the truth. Tell them who they are. Tell them they're God's children. Tell them they're God's election. That's the real truth, okay? And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't you let the world snake you in, the ways of the world. Hey, doesn't hurt to be street smart, friend, because you know what the enemy's up to. But do it God's way. Do you know why you want to be sure and do it God's way? Because who can be against you if you serve God? Nobody can, because Father watches over you. Father knows you, and Father's going to see to it that you're protected. Do you know why? It's really real simple. Because He's got something for you to do. And then you say, well, I wish you'd get around to it. Well, don't worry, it's coming. I can hear the King of Babylon coming over the hill. You know who that is? That's the Antichrist. Who do you think is going to witness against Him? One of the greatest times in Christianity is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You might say, well, I don't talk very good. Don't worry, you're not doing the talking. Okay, the Holy Spirit will. And you will say exactly what it is He wants you to say. Why? You've got sight. You can see. You know there was an age before this, and you know that many of God's children failed. And God could have killed them, but He loves them. He wants to save them. So instead of destroying the third of His children, He destroyed that earth age and caused each one to be born innocent of woman, to make his or her mind up whether they would follow Christ or Satan. But He had certain people that He could utilize to make His plan come to pass exactly as it's written. No mess ups. And He can intercede in those lives and see that it gets done, because He's on the throne. And you know, the Savior now sitting at His right hand. And they're going to sit there until all the enemies are made their footstool. Who do you think are going to put those enemies under His footstool? You are. Okay. With the aid of the Holy Spirit. According to God's plan, not yours. Okay. So, light. His light gives sight and takes blindness, spiritual blindness, away from the family and encourages one to say, here I am, Father, use me, I'm available, and dedicate oneself to Him. For if He's for you, who could be against you? They're going to lose. Anyone that goes against you is going to lose, because God's on the throne. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for the light. Thank You, Father, for sight. Let these all be a blessing to all they come in contact with. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Where in the Bible can I look for comfort? Thanks for your service of this country. I was proud to have served this country at the Chosun Reservoir in North Korea in 1950. It was a good hot old time, even though it was cold. Stuff happens, and it sure does. But you're one of God's own. And I would recommend to you 1 Corinthians, I've quoted this earlier, chapter 10, verse 13. And know that what's happened to you, it happens to all of us, okay? But the thing you want to remember, your brother is with the Father, okay? And no more pain, you kind of want to rejoice for him, okay? He's got it made. And the missus, well, unfortunately Satan kind of rules some in this earth. But read that verse real good, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 13, that what's happened to you happens to all of us, and God will never test you more than you can handle. He knows you can handle this, because you're a can-do type person. It's fine to shed the tears, okay? But get right up from it and know, just like Jeremiah did in today's lecture, you get back up, you get your hold of your bootstraps, you pull yourself up, and you start plowing, okay? You're a can-do type person, and I can tell by your stationery that God uses you immensely. Thank you for your service. Linda from North Carolina. I have a nephew who has been into drugs. Can you give me some scripture for him to read to help him? He is coming around and is reading the Bible. Just need to help him. Well, probably one of the best things you can do is show him your Strong's Concordance and go to Revelation chapter 21, and it says there's not going to be any sorcerers in heaven. And then you take that word sorcerer and you chase that back to the Greek. And do you know what it is in Greek? It's pharmacia, which we get our word pharmacy. It means a drug pushy, a drug dealer. Not going to be any drug dealers in heaven. Not going to be any drug users, that is to say, illegally. This is why, you know, when the word talks about poppy juice, it's talking about drugs. And God is very much against it. What you want to tell him, the king of Babylon is coming. And those people that like to get a fix, he'll gladly give you one when you're supposed to be standing against him and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. So let him know that. And tell him if he is dependent on anything other than God, he's in bad shape. And he needs help. And God is just the one that can help him. Denise from Minnesota. Do you have a work on how the U.S. is not going to fall? How do you know that we are home here in the USA if we're going to be taken and delivered up to the Antichrist? Well, why does God bless America? Because we love him. Our people, because of religious persecution, departed the old land and came here. Our people were scattered all over the world when the 10 tribes went north over the Caucasus Mountain, called Caucasian, settled Europe, and then later here to worship as we please. And God mentions the superpower of superpowers that he utilizes and will continue to utilize, because we happen to be that city of with unwalled cities. And we've always been protected. And as far as being delivered up before the Antichrist, remember, he's supernatural, and he comes in vehicles that is not even a 5-minute flight from here to Jerusalem, all right? Zip-zop, okay? And you have to understand the high tech that our Father possesses and even allows Satan, and it will happen. But again, we have nothing to worry about. God has stated we will always control our gates, and we do control them. We may have some help with them, but we control them. Americans are fantastic people. They're peaceful. They're easy to get along with. But I've been with crowds of Americans that were pressured and abused, and I've seen them become warriors. I mean, real warriors. If you've ever seen that, you don't have to worry about this nation losing its independence. It won't. Mainly because of God, though. Okay, I want to make that very, very clear. Andy from Tennessee, your warnings to the Christians who cite the Hebrew language mistranslations of in clouds and in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, against meaning the rapture myth, help me. But if to be absent from our body is to be present with the Lord is true, then what does 1 Corinthians 15:52 mean at the last trump? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's talking, you know, always listen and listen to what you're reading. Incorruptible means what? Flesh bodies. This incorruptible must put on this corruptible body must put on incorruption. Well, you're going to be before God. Flesh and blood can't stand before God because it's a different dimension. Why? It says we're all going to be changed. It means even the incorruptible will put on the corruptible will put on the incorruptible. But read the rest of the verse. This mortal must put on immortality. Mortal has to do with their soul. They've still got a soul that's mortal, meaning it's going to die. They are changed. They're all changed. But some of them are spiritually deader than a hammer. That's why they're dead, okay? But they're still changed. Why? Because we go into the millennium, into a spiritual dimension, where they're before God, and He can lay the hammer on them, okay? The gavel, the judge, okay? So go back and reread it. Corruptible has to do with the flesh body and the spiritual body. Mortal has to do with your soul, and immortality is you're overcoming where you're no longer spiritually dead, and you will either take part in the first resurrection or the second at the end of the millennium, or your choice would be the lake of fire. Okay? Hope that helps you. Rudine from Atlanta. In a country that was built on the phrase "In God we trust" and according to God's word, the Bible, we are instructed to love one another unconditionally and regardless of race, color, or creed. My question, why do we as a people worship separately? Well, you know, you can't worship with everybody. How could you discipline yourself with God's word? Paul says, get along with your neighbor if it's possible. I'm not going to worship with somebody that's worshiping Houdini. I'm not going to worship with somebody that likes to hear a man pop off hot air for an hour rather than teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Don't try to tie me down to non-believers. If they want to believe, that's their choice. There's two choices, life or death. And those that choose death, I don't want to be saddled with them. If they want to hear truth, then let them decide for life. If they want to die, let them die, okay? But you can't, if you unconditionally worship in a house that you let everything in, Satan's in this world, he's coming in, and he will destroy your work. You show me a work without discipline from Almighty God's Word, and I'll show you a house that is not a house of God, but a house of whoredoms. That is to say, whoring after every non-little belief that comes along, rather than sticking to God's Word and amounting to something, okay? Haven't you ever heard Christ teach, don't be unequally yoked? You're not supposed to yoke yourself up with every filth that comes along. What kind of person are you? Jeannie from Arkansas, that's not to say you don't love everybody that believes, but you teach God's Word and you plow straight. Anybody that doesn't want to follow along in that furrow, out. Jeannie from Arkansas, my question is, I know God can hear and see everything I do. Can my parents see and hear me? And I see that you've lost your parents. In everything I do, can my parents see and hear? I feel like they are my guardian angels. I miss them deeply. Well, you heard me quote Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 earlier about guardian angels. Does that mean your parents are? Not necessarily, but I know as experience as a pastor in being at many deathbeds where people are in the transition of passing on to the Father that they always have their loved ones come back and meet them many times. They'll speak to them, and you won't see them. You'll be a pastor standing there, and they'll speak to them. You won't see them, but they're in the transition of passing to that dimension. So don't be surprised, okay? But know they're with the Father, and that's good enough on its own, okay? And will this hurting ever stop? Well, you know, don't hurt for them. Be happy for them. I know you miss them. But you're a big girl now, and you have to kind of take up some of the slack. and be happy for them that they're with Father. I know they're in heaven, and I try to be happy in that. Well, that's good, okay? My husband and I are having problems too. Well, you keep setting the example, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, telling you how a family should get along, the husband and wife. Stanley from South Carolina. I've had Parkinson's for almost 20 years now, and I've been watching your program for almost a year, and I feel that I understand the Bible better when it is taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Now, that's the only way to understand God's Word, okay? It's subject, object, article, carry it right on through. A child can understand it. My question to you concerns the Lord's Prayer. I study using the Authorized King James Version in the Bible, and it states in the verse 10 through 6 in St. Matthew that thy will be done in earth as in heaven. My Bible also states in verse 2, chapter 11 in St. Luke, as in heaven, so in earth. Every time I hear the Lord's Prayer given by a pastor, which is not often enough, the pastor says on instead of in. I'm out of time. You can cut him a little slack, okay? But heaven will ultimately be on earth and in earth, okay? Cuts it all. God's favorite place in the universe is Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 16 documents that. He made an eternal covenant with that geographical location. Out of time, I love you all. Why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's letter. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes His day. When you make His day, He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. But you know what's most important? It's this, that you stay in His Word, every day in His Word, even with trouble. You know what? It's still a good day. Why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead.